a tu era, siempre la verita tuya. Buenos días, buenos días.
Good morning.
Bueno, vais terminando, foto, por favor.
¡El primo! Gracias.
Por favor, tenemos poquito tiempo para la rueda.
Please, we have very little time for the press conference, so please, I would ask the photographer to finish the work. Good morning, everyone. And thank you very much for attending to this press conference, which corresponds to the Spanish conference, May God Save Us, which has just been screened for the press in the official section of the San Sebastian Film Festival. To present the film, we have the presence of Rodrigo Sorogoyen, the director and co-screenwriter of the film. Well, we've always got the other co-scriptwriter, Isabel Peña, Antonio de la Torre, Roberto Alamo, and Maria Ballesteros, who are protagonists and actors of the film, and two of the producers, Gerardo Herrero and Mercedes Gamero. As I imagine that you all want to ask questions, let's commence. Yes, you first.
Perdón, antes de que se me olvide.
Before I forget, I've been told from the production company, please don't ask questions that may reveal or spoil the name of the murderer, because we don't want it to be spoiled, okay? Thank you very much, player of mine. Now, I'll be careful. Congratulations for the film to all of you. Personally, I'm concerned, Rodrigo, about the story of Antonio with Maria. I'd like to know whether you could tell us a bit more vis-a-vis that part of the film, which has left us a bit misconcerted. Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for what you've said. You're referring about the fact that for us, for Isabel and for me, it was important. The police plot was just as important as the plot with the characters. It's a character-driven plot, so therefore that's what we thought. We had to give room and life beyond the police plot, Velarde's character, as well as Alfaro's character. So therefore we've set up a plot where a person who has difficulties to relate himself, he's very solitary, he's very on his own, and I imagine many of his problems and his lacks come from that solitude. We've tried to make him travel, make a journey towards understanding, towards love, and toward forgiveness is where all of the characters or the main characters are seeking. And that's why we create Maria Ballesteros as another solitary character. These are two human beings that are seeking love, and at the end of the day, I think they find it, albeit we should not say so. I've met the character that you base yourself upon. I was in the there at the court case, and even my mother could have been a victim of the famous character who killed old ladies, because that was always in the air whether this man was crazy or was he a horrible murderer and terrific murderer, because the lawyer always asked him to say that he was crazy in the court case, because the medical report said that he was a production of his revenge with his mother. Well, he was a murderer and he went to jail, and then they killed him in jail. You finished the, I'm not going to discover it, but you finished the film. You have not made the story the way it is. Yes, you've not finished the story the same way. What De La Torre does is a journalist from the Montañés Vocento newspaper who discovered the rapes, and that's why the police discovered. But is he crazy or not? Or is he a murderer? Well, you're talking about the character that we've created, Isabel Peña and myself, as of a man who exists, and are you referring to the famous? We don't know that, because we never. Yes, well, the truth is it's not based upon that real fact. That is to say, we created this character through what occurred to us, and there was a man who was called an old lady killer in the 1980s that existed, but there's no clear relationship between the real case and the film, and so therefore we can't really answer that. We would not be able to say whether he's a murderer, or he was a mixture of both, I would say, or a bit crazy. I would say a mixture of both things. Hi, good morning. First of all, congratulate you. Thank you very much for the film. A question for Antonio and another one for Rodrigo as well. What was it? How did you work upon the stuttering in your character? How did you portray that? And what did you stutter one way or another according to the scene, or were you really, was it fixed, or was it well prepared how the stuttering was going to be in each scene? Yes, well, it was a complex discussion. In fact, in the first version of the script, Rodrigo wrote the script, the character with the stuttering. I mean, and Isabel as well. Well, I asked him to leave that because a key, Isidoro Griez, who's the spokesman of the Association of People Who Stutter, I want to thank the producer who hired him and who advised me throughout the entire film. Without him, it wouldn't have been possible. There were many takes. Rodrigo took a few. We didn't have a model, but I don't want to bore you, but basically, what I tried to do and what I learned through these people from this foundation for people who stutter, a technical expression was to try to tell the difficulty to be able to communicate yourself, which is the essence that these people transmitted to me. And as of there, obviously, with a character with so much weight in the film, Rodrigo had to make decisions there because one take varied quite a lot. Each take varied. In other cases, I got stuck a bit more when I stuttered. We did. But the truth is, I wanted to highlight the most important thing, or what I would highlight in this character, what I learned and what I've tried to do, is to tell you about someone who's got a great difficulty to express himself. And the rest is almost an anecdote on the side, really. Hi, good morning, I'm over here. I'd like to ask Rodrigo and Isabel as regards to that brutality. I'm under the feeling that it's a film. I'm not too sure about male brutality, and that male brutality is an institution because the police is also an institution, which is a consented brutality. It's as if you were talking about the instinct of one part of the society, which is animal-like, which are men, and then the police is another branch of that brutality, and it's permitted. Oh, well, that wasn't our intention exactly, but we didn't want to talk too much about the police brutality at all. I think that we did want to talk about the violence that exists in society, the present-day society. We didn't want to focus on men. It's focused upon men because the both main leading characters are men, but we didn't want to talk about the fact that man, because he's a man, he's violent. I think human beings are violent at sometimes. Mankind can do, and human beings can do, beautiful and horrible things. So we wanted to create a thriller where these solitary characters, sometimes I want to think they are, sometimes they're tender, and in other cases they behave morally, in a morally disputable way. And due to that lack, to the solitude that they undergo, no, I think you explained it very well. And thanks, Isabel. Hi. Also for Rodrigo, the religious side, the visit of the Pope, whether that's one way of placing the chaos of the city in that those days of summer, or is it something more narrative? And also, religion is also participate, and the murderer, for example, as well. Yeah, it all. Sorry, excuse me for saying. No, don't worry. Yeah. Everything stems that we lived in that context, and we thought it was very interesting and original. That is to say, it could have been the Pope, as it could have been some other large migration of people for some other event. For a month, for 10 days, 1.5 million people turned up to see the Pope and the city. That in a big city is noticeable. So therefore, we thought it was very interesting and differentiating when we write a thriller. That many, many very good thrillers is to give it a different personality due to all of these people. And that's where it all stemmed from. Is that right, Isabel? Yes, it all stems from there. But it was great to see how it perfectly fitted with the intentions and with the plot of the film. It starts, we thought it was an interesting context, but an anecdote, but then slowly but surely it started, it inundated the entire film. Hi, good morning. Congratulations for the film. I thought it was a splendid film. A question to you and another one to Gerardo. The film has reminded me a lot. It has nothing to do with regards to its plan and how it's played on the screen and how you shot it, but it reminded me, and I would like to know whether you've borne that in mind, of a film that I love by Richard Fleischer, The Boston Strangler. I say this because halfway through the film, The Boston Strangler, there's a cut, and Tony Curtis turns out. But yeah, I think the same thing happens here to us. I think it's a bit like that, but it reminded me quite a lot. Imagine one film has got nothing to do with the other, but it reminded me that. And Gerardo, ask you whether you've produced the film because now it's in fashion. Thrillers are in fashion, in the Spanish thrillers that are being very successful. And also, I would like to congratulate you for the film and for the good eyesight that you've had in choosing it. Who starts? You. Juan Carlos, thank you very much for praising the film. I chose the film because I saw Stockholm. I saw it, and I called Rodrigo, the director, to see what projects he had, which simultaneously the same thing that happened with Mercedes with Antena 3, because it's quite curious that we both called him at the same time. I imagine it's for the same reason. Mercedes could probably tell you that. I called him. They showed me several projects, and they told me about Isabel. And Rodrigo showed us, Isabel had been a student of mine at the film school, and she was the most talented of the script writers that I'd met. Those circumstances arose that the project was almost finished. It was quite well prepared, and I thought it was extraordinary as a script, extraordinary as a point of view. I liked Stockholm, the relationship that I had with them and with Rodrigo, and simultaneously Antena 3, the same thing happened. So therefore, well, things cropped up that way and everything came together. I produced a lot of thrillers. I like thrillers. Some come out better than others, like many films. But this genre, it's the genre that I like the most of all. And if Plassey can talk about something social that reflects something in society, that talks about things that happen, that's not a thriller, which is just entertaining because there are many, well, even better, because it gives it a context that for me personally, in the films that I like to make, means it gives it more meaning. And the circumstances came together here. For example, we achieved a joint collaboration and with Antena 3 as well. And we were managed to make this film, which is different to what Rodrigo had done before, but it was present in his talent as a director. And Isabel and him as screenwriters. What is strange to find such good scripts, by the way. The Boston Strangler, yes. It's quite curious. I don't remember. We saw the film during writing the script. I'm not too sure what moment, what you've said, something quite similar happens, but I don't remember when I saw it. I'm going to be quite sincere. The script is, of course, quite well prepared. I saw it when I was very young. And I had a good, I remembered it quite well. We saw it when we saw that, we freaked out because we thought, oh, there are quite similar things in the Boston Strangler as in our film. I said, let's keep going because we've already worked so far on the script. But it's a great film, yes. Hi, good morning, Rodrigo. How do you address, how do you take this leap from a Stockholm, a film that we loved, but it was a small film, to a huge film like this? How do you take this leap of faith? And what's the guiding line, perhaps the psychological side of things? And please tell us, how was it to work with these two beasts that you've got on your right, that I imagine that you can always ask more because you know they'll give you more? Gerardo and Mercedes, you mean? Is that who you're referring to? That's much more difficult than the script with Antonio. No. The truth is, as there's a lot of time has gone by since Gerardo and Antena 3 start to be interested in the project until I end up shooting the film, all of that time is time of awareness and concern to try to do the things and to work a lot apart from just the directing. The truth is, when you're shooting, at the end of the day, you're shooting. Doesn't matter whether it's a small or a larger film. You're stuck in the you're in the story and in your day-to-day work, and you're trying to do your best possible work. But the 8 weeks shooting, I didn't live them in a very different way to another film. But all of the prior work was, there was a greater pressure, perhaps, and a greater concern, as I said before. But I also must say that with a great release vis-a-vis the burden and vis-a-vis Stockholm, where I was a producer with a lot of other friends, that perhaps at the end of the day we were more concerned here. We've had a production team which is marvelous, and that made me dedicate myself just to my work, which is to direct the film. And then what it's like to work with Antonio and Roberto, well, I could go in depth, but basically once they accept making the film, it's another, I felt very relaxed. I said, it's not going to turn out bad. I'm sure we had to talk to with him so that we could all follow the same direction in what we wanted to achieve. And that's the issue. You said action. You say action. You can improve or try to improve certain scenes, but to make you feel very relaxed, because you know they're going to do a great job, and excuse my expression, but it was a great learning process, because these are two actors that work quite differently. And I thought it was quite curious, because they worked together in certain scenes, but as you know, that they had different subplots. I was working a lot with Antonio in one section and with Roberto in another section. And it was quite, I don't want to compare them, because I learned something from each of them. And with each of them, I had to have a different path to take and a different link to them. I'm sorry, we can't hear the question. Yes. Difference with Stockholm, one of the things that most concerned me was to make an action film where there are a couple of scenes, genre scenes or action scenes. That is to say, you try to direct and try to know what's the best for production, what's the best for the story, what's the best for the film. And I think it's all the prior work, all the previous work, all of these. You've got to make sure you place the camera where you've got to place it, and to transmit to the actors what you're going to transmit. But this is prior work. Once you've done this, things are much simpler when you shoot the film. Hi, I would like to ask you, you've said that the film shows violence in general and a rejection to that violence, especially violence against women. So how's it possible that a relationship that you said of being love and care starts with sexual aggression, and it's only a trick of the script to confuse the audience to see who's the bad guy in the film? And in that case, well, the repercussion in the audience imaginary, how does it affect them? Does anyone want to answer that, or do I want to answer? I'll start very quickly and then you continue. You improve it. Luis's character is very is clumsy, and he's very alone, and he's useless, and he does what he can, and he does things in a very clumsy manner. He makes mistakes. We knew that it was an uncomfortable plot from the beginning, but we didn't want to tell Luis Velarde, who abused women and he goes home. No, the plot is quite different to that, I believe anyway. How can a love story start? Well, they start in the strangest way, the most inverosimile ways, that is to say, they worked a lot. We knew that it was a subplot, which was very delicate, but at the end of the day, and that's how Maria and Antonio worked upon it, there were two beings, human beings, not used to being loved, nor to love. And I think that the journey they take is to try to get used to each other, or accept even that they're being loved and to love at the same time. I think that, I don't think it's an aggression. He's a guy that's trying to do what he can, but in a very clumsy way. It's not voluntary. It's a man that perhaps he's maintained sexual. He doesn't even know how to touch a woman. He doesn't even know how to do it. And And I think the same thing happens to my character. So these two people, when they're trying to fit together, instead of caressing each other, they, because of the clumsiness, they hit each other. That's true. It seems as if that this man does this every day, and that's not the case. He, Luis Velarde, I mean, not this man here, the actor Antonio, I'm sure he does it in a better way, much better. But I think the good thing about that subplot is that that's the limit. It's a small limit, a bit more if he goes over it and it can't be tolerated. But after that, my character knows and understands he loves him. He sees that little crack and he sees that flaw in him. She see it starts in a strange place, but it's still quite beautiful. This person I've been looking at her, there's a love, a relationship. But ask her, but I'm suffering, but she wants to ask a question. Give her a microphone. No, Alvaro, but there's someone. Antonio, you're next, okay? I promise you. No. Sorry. I saw the film and I was thinking that the violence scenes are quite well made and they're quite realistic. All of the action scenes. Did you take any bruises home? Because I'm sure you may have taken some bruises home. Well, yes, it happens sometimes. Something you do take home with you, a bruise, an occasional bruise in those scenes in films, you always, but it doesn't matter to whoever's paying the ticket. Or Robert, for example, hurt his legs, and I got a, I run in the morning, I thought I was Usain Bolt, and I almost had a heart attack in one of the chasing scenes. It was like a divine punishment, and I was called Robert. We called him the old lady, because he's going, what's the matter? The lady, don't you want to hurry up in this scene? And Rui was having a great time, laughing, because... And poor Robert, who tried to be a real champ, he said, wait a minute. And I had to run and 20 meters, and the third one, I got dizzy because it was so hot. And he walked by and said, who's the old lady now? You're lying on the floor. So I deserved it. It was a punishment from God. God forgive me. You want to add anything, darling? Roberto, defend yourself. Don't leave it like that, Nana. I don't need to defend himself. He ridicules himself on his own. He doesn't need any help. Leave me, pig. Hi, I'm from Brazil. My name is Maísa, but I have to ask in English because my...
About Hitchcock. I see many Hitchcock influence in this movie. And anyone who can answer, not only the director, do you think we can subvert Hitchcock in a thriller nowadays? How can we do this?
Yes, I was going to answer in Spanish. Don't worry, I wasn't going to answer in English. Because you wouldn't impress me for when we make a film in English. I thought he was trying to speak in English. That's why it's taking so long. And since I heard Roberto speak in English, I've never heard anyone else speak in English. Well, thank you very much for the comparison. But I remember that obviously we're talking about Psycho, but I don't see any relationship with Hitchcock, with the genius or the master of suspense films. Isabel, I'm not sure whether, I don't know. Well, I think that we all know his films, but there may be a bit of frenzy, I don't know. Psycho, yes. The relationship between the mother and the mother and the son. Well, if you see it, all well and good. If you think there are relations with Hitchcock's films, well, I think that's great. No? Don't you think? That's it. Well, great. It's difficult in 100 years of film to invent something new. There's unconsciously, there's something that's present. And the question of violence, that is to say, that it was asked earlier on, we are the result of what we learned and what we've not unlearned, because things accompany us in an unconscious way, how we do things in life and even when we make films. Hi, I'd like to ask Roberto Alamo, what your character, who is it? What was the great danger that you might fall into with this character? That is, describe how you saw that, your character. Very excited and full of... and when I read it, I said in an interview, when you're offered a character, sometimes... I said, okay, say it and you can understand me, and you look at the bank account and you go, I've got much money and I've got to work and I've got to do something. So therefore, they offer a character that perhaps is not too great. And that's where I felt really, really scared, because to know how to give it 1,500 ways in use my emotions and my brain to know how to defend that character that is not too well portrayed in the screenplay. This is not the case when I read the character in this case. I felt, I almost cried by reading it, because I thought, wow, how exciting it is to portray this character. But my fear doesn't appear anywhere. They say, I did what I know how to do, which I think I've chosen my work quite well, that is to say, to be an actor. I'm going to get involved as much as I can, and the result, God will tell. I'm surrounded by a great cast, actors and actresses, a great director, fantastic script, director and producers, and I've got to get into there and not to put any sticks and stones into the spokes of. So I was very exciting, and it was a great joy to participate in a film of this of kind with a character like the character I portrayed. We've got time for one final question. Congratulations to all of you. I think it's one of the times where personally and professionally I have me more moved from the film theater, and that with a coincidence that I met outside that I'm going to allow myself to tell. I found and met the master of the true Andres of this real story, the teacher from Santander. And she told us the tragic ending as well of him in prison. Albeit I might be out of context, I have a documentary project vis-a-vis justice and prisons, and I just want to say there's 15% of people who are in jail because of sexual offense without any program, without any psychotherapeutic help, that go out and they commit violence against gender violence, and there's a system of families with prior violence that's not worked upon, because it has to, from the educational point of view, the means that we have are minimum. And thanks once again. The truth is, the scene, the believability, I loved it. And if it's useful to open up a little door, well, thank you very much. Well, we hope so. Thank you. Thank you very much to the whole crew and the cast of the film.